So we thank God for his goodness and his mercies over our lives. How was yesterday night? It was good. It shall be seen, right? On the mountain of the Lord. It shall be seen. Praise God. So let's go back to the table. You know, yesterday, when I go home yesterday, I was, every time when I get home, I always ask my wife, you know, how the service went, get her feedback. And so she said it went very well. You know, but I told her that yesterday we ministered purely by faith. You know, what I mean by that is sometimes when you're ministering, you are under the anointing. Most times when I'm ministering, the anointing of God comes upon me and I. Sometimes it takes a while before the anointing lifts, even after the service. This morning the anointing was on me till after the service, and I thought it had lifted. In fact, I had to rush to pray for the last person because it was lifting. There was somebody I called out, I lay hands on quickly. It was because the anointing was lifting and I felt I needed to minister to that person. So I had to rush before it lifts, you know. But even after the service, I think it was still on me. And after like an hour, 2 hours, the anointing lifted and I became extraordinarily tired immediately. You know, I was laughing at myself, I had to go and rest. You know, the anointing can actually kill someone when you carry it without wisdom. It will kill you and you'll be shocked, you see. You'll be shocked. Because the anointing does not carry the full constitution of the will of God. You cannot understand what is God's will from the anointing. Meaning that the anointing works even when you are outside the will. Yeah. That's why when you live by the anointing, you're going to make a wreck of your life. You're not meant to live by the, you're meant to use the anointing and live by the maturity of your human spirit. You know, which is safer than the anointing. Because the anointing is not for you. The anointing is for the people. And so if you live your life in the anointing, you are going to make a shipwreck of your life. Yes. Till the anointing that you are carrying eventually leaves, because your life, the life you are living, is not in alignment. And whilst you are living that life, the anointing will be working. Yes. That's why it's dangerous for a church to be, or a community to be, to be gift based. Eh? To be what? Gift based. Anytime a people are gift based, they will most likely walk in error. Yes. You can't be gift based. You know? But it's better to, the anointing is a gift of God and it helps us to do what we cannot naturally do. But we have to make sure that we have a strong, active spirit that helps us to, gives us stability while we operate the anointing. Do you understand that? Yeah. But I thank God that tonight I'm under the anointing tonight, you know. So I prefer that. I usually prefer that, you know, so. And everybody has, every minister has the way they flow in the anointing. You see. So when you, for example, when you invite a guest, you have to find out how does he flow. You know, so that you don't trouble him. You get it. One of the ways you can frustrate a guest is invite him and do everything for him that counters his anointing. You have frustrated him. Praise God. And so it's good to live. The believer is meant to live from his human. And faith can do everything the anointing can do. So if there is no anointing for a thing, you can achieve it by faith. Eh? And your level of your spiritual measure, you are not measured spiritually on the basis of your anointing. Eh? Your faith is more of your level spiritually than even your anointing. Are we together here? Praise God. And I'm happy that there is a good measure of it's a bit hot. I don't know. Is it? Are the ACs? This is not working. Okay. All right. So, what was I saying? I said something before I asked about. Huh? Yeah. Faith is. I've said something after that, but it's okay. Huh? All right. Yes. I said there's a good measure of corresponding. Did I use that word? Not yet. There's a good measure of. Okay, I want to see the. Immediately after the service, I'll see the unit heads and assistants in my office. You know, we need to quickly make a decision. So I want to find out if the Spirit of God will speak through any of you. So before we make that decision, so we'll go upstairs. I'll tell you the decision, then we'll check your spirit and then we'll find out who carries the Spirit, or maybe nobody carries it. Well, we have to make an urgent decision, and it's a pivotal one. And so there is a good measure of, you know, corresponding hunger. It's in good measure, and that's very good. You know, it's in the atmosphere, and that's very powerful. That's very, very good. Amen. So we check Genesis chapter 22, and then we're just going to move very quickly. Father, we thank you because you have provided us your Spirit, and that makes the work easy. And so we glide, you know, we glide on the strength and the power of the Spirit, and let there be all the impartations that are necessary for us to have that will further us into the glorious things that you have ordained for us. Let everyone be quick enough to receive from you, and let them move, you know, move closer and move deeper into the glorious things and kingdom things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we're preaching, I want you to receive, get, you know, anything can happen to you at any time. You know, just receive from the Lord. Receive from the Lord. However you want to receive, receive. You want to, however the Spirit moves you, it's okay. Praise God. Nehemiah, you have to fix this. You guys have to get the second camera fixed. I don't know if Pastor Idara knows that this is not the right camera that should be here. This is the old one, and so it means the feed on me, the quality will be different on the feed on the people, and that can be distracting visual wise. So we need to get the second camera that is the same as the first back here, and so that this can do other things. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is, said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. So we just want to look at what the second experience. So it means that on this mountain, Abraham had two experiences. The first experience was a dimension of God called Jehovah Jireh. And then the concept of Jehovah Jireh, or the reality behind Jehovah Jireh, is that on this mount it shall be seen, or it shall be provided. And that brings a conclusive a conclusive summary of the fact that the mountain of the Lord is not empty. Are we together here? And the mountain of the Lord doesn't lack the capacity to provide. Are we together here? That conclusively tells us that we can mount the mountains of the Lord, and we will not experience lack. You see, because when you progress that mountain, one of the attacks you are going to have when you progress that mountain is the attack of lack. Intimacy always throws arrows of fear of lack every time. And Jesus tried to always, give us a rebuttal every time, letting us know that it's not so. You know, you remember the other time where he said that if we evil fathers, know how to give good gifts to our children, then what about him? Are we together here? Yes. And so he kept trying to let us know. You remember also the mother of scriptures, when you look at Matthew chapter 6. Are we together here? We also learned in Matthew chapter 6 that when we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, praise God, all these things shall be what? Amen. It shall be added to us. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the things he was talking about were natural things, human things. And he's saying that seeking the kingdom of God is not going to leave you at the mercy of Satan. Are you together with me? Yes, that the threat of Satan is not going to come to pass. And we see all that in scripture. And then the Lord is wanting us. You know, in that same Matthew chapter 6, he says, the Father knows that you need these things. You know, I was reading the book. We haven't released it. I was just reading it again, The Stones That Preserve. And I was talking about this. And in one of the chapters, I was saying that the basis upon which God provides for us, the strength of it, the reason, the argument for your provision, the accurate argument, it's not that you are needy. The very basis upon which God provides for you is on the basis that he is Father. So what is on the line is not that you are needy. What's on the line is that he must be Father. So it's not just first trying to meet your need, it's trying to be Daddy. And that's why I said your heavenly Father knows that you need these things, you see. And so if he doesn't supply these things to you, it's going to be an indictment on his fatherhood, you see. So what motivates God is not your need. What motivates God is his person, character, nature, identity. Are you together with me? So it's not your need is not such. God meeting your need is not such. God not meeting your need, the greater risk is God has to stop being Father. So it's not the risk that your deadlines are not met. It's the risk that he will no longer be Father. Are you together with me? And then we know that he doesn't change. He remains the same. And then so you can put your faith on the fact that my provision is hinged on the character of God. Are you together with me? That is what my provision is hinged on. And that should bring you to a level of peace that it will have to take God being God to stop being God for you to know lack. Your spirit has to see it that way. Now, the thing is that a lot of us are more energized by our lack. And sometimes we think that if we can communicate our lack better and scream about our lack and let God know or remind him that, are you seen? Are you... You understand that God will now pity us, or God will be moved by the fact that he are itikoju, and he will now minister to you. But that's not the premise of divine provision. The premise on divine provision is that he's Father. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
So the first encounter the first experience that Abraham got in his journey of worship, I and the lad, we go yonder to worship, was that God appeared to him and the angel revealed to him the dimension of God called Jireh. I tell you the truth, if you don't turn your back in your journey to worshiping God, you are going to end finding out God is Jireh.
Yes, sir.
I tell you the truth, if you don't turn your back, the challenge is that a lot of us turn and we don't complete the journey. If you complete the journey, you will find out. Everyone who has gone on this route, you know, one of the patriarchs put it in a different way. The way he put it was that I've been young and now I'm old. I have never, you know, I think David would not tell a lie. He says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, and I have never seen his seed beg for bread. That the possibility of that does not exist. And David put a lot of time frame to it so that you can be sure he's not making an assumption that is premature. He put a lot of time frame to it. He says, I was young, I started this experiment as a young child, and I made it span for about 30, 50, 70, 80 years. And so this experience is like a 60, 80 years experience. And my conclusion from this experience is that I have never. Wow. I have been young. Now I am old. I've been young. Now I am old. So I have. It's not like I did a 3 years experiment. I did a lifetime experiment. And the conclusion I came to is that I have not seen. I have not seen it. David's eye has never been set on a righteous man that was forsaken. And we are even talking about righteousness on the premise of works. What about righteousness on the premise of gift? What about the nature of righteousness where there is never a time you are not righteous? There is never a time you are not righteous because of what Jesus has done. And David is even talking about those who oscillate righteousness on righteousness, including himself. And he says, all of us in our imperfect state, but trying our best to be righteous, even all of us in that state have never been forsaken. And then we have never begged for bread, neither did our seed beg for bread. And of course, this is a description of Jireh. Isn't it?
Yes, sir.
It says, on this mount of righteousness, there is never lack. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
You see, because on that mountain, Abraham was, there were two things that came into that mountain. The first thing that came into that mountain was the voice of the angel or the Lord himself. And the second thing was the ram that was caught with his horn. So it means, and that's the same thing David is saying here. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. That's presence. And I've never seen him beg for bread. That's substance. And that's angel and ram. Never seen it. No matter how quiet you think God is, he's still there with you. no matter how quiet you think everything is, you will never record the time where he left. You know, he's greater than us, but the irony is that we are the ones who have the guts to leave. It can never be him leaving. And so that's the experience that Abraham first had. And you also have to have, you have to believe for this experience. You have to be aware of this experience. That as I'm growing in intimacy with the Lord, I know the end. The end is that the Lord will never forsake me. I was the end also. I'll never beg for bread. On the mountain it shall be seen. I said it shall be seen.
Yes, sir.
I said it shall be seen. There is nothing that I wish to see in my life that I haven't yet seen that won't be seen. And it will be on the mountain. It won't be via compromise. It will be on the mountain of the Lord. So I make bold to announce to you that ekoto itiri wa iri. Are there people who believe what I'm saying here?
Yes.
I said, "Ikoto iti riwairi." Wari. Wari. Owo to iti ri omari. Ile to iti ri omari. Aya to iti ri omari. Omoto itiri omari. Isheto itiri omari. Omari. Mosopo omari. Ile isheto veda sile wari. Omari, it shall be seen. Our motto is "Iri kilo machele." Omari, Omari, iluto iti iri. Omari, she dimbog ni. Omari, dimbog. Bahamas, Wari, Atlanta, Chicago, San Francisco, Omari, Singapore, Wari. So what's the purpose of this teaching? The purpose of this teaching is that how you walk in your soul must change. You must walk as one who knows that on the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. That's why we will say no to Satan. Because there's nothing he is promising us that will not still be seen. It's nothing. He told Jesus, "Bow down, I'll give you all these things." Jesus did not listen to him. Eventually, he found himself under Jesus' feet eventually. And all the things he promised Jesus, more than that, Jesus has already seen it. So that's the first reality that must dawn on you. If this reality doesn't dawn on you, you can't walk with God. You can't. You would get tired. You would draw back. Yeah. You see, when Abraham and Lot parted ways, the basis and the premise of their separation was hinged on two things. For Abraham, it was hinged on the fact that Abraham did not want strife, and he wanted an atmosphere that was godly. Now, for Lot, he chose the land that was green. It was profit that made him choose the land that he chose. And so when they separated, if you look in the flesh, it looked like Abraham's business had a plunge, whereas Lot's business had, am I correct here, had some type of boom. But Abraham kept walking with the Lord. By the time the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah came, Lot and his wife had to escape. Eventually, Lot had nothing. Am I correct here? He had nothing. And then his wife, who is a description of him, because that's the place of a woman describes her husband, turned back. You see, because she was aware that she's losing something that she didn't get on the mount. You see, because if she got it from the mount, she won't need to look back, because she knows she will still see it in the mount. And so she turned back and turned towards a pillar of salt. So you see, anytime you don't conclude that your inheritance is on the mount, you would always have a reason to look back. And then when you look back, you turn to a pillar of salt, meaning that you will get what you are looking for, but you will stop your journey with God. You see, because salt is a very powerful economic commodity. But what is the value of having salt where you can't move? And so that was like the fullness of course. Well, not just that you will have salt, you will become pillar of it. The salt will be useless to you yourself. And that's the story of a lot of people. They have been stagnated because they are looking for a lot of things outside intimacy. Are we preaching here?
Yes.
A lot of people have the ability to pursue things outside intimacy. And when you pursue things outside intimacy, you will negotiate with Satan, and Satan will mess you up. That was a scripture I was reading to you some weeks ago, and where was it, Jude now or James, was warning those who will to be rich. W-I-L-L. Who will to be rich. Is that Timothy? Now, that word "will" there is a very powerful word. It's not just desire to be rich. It's not just want to be rich. It's talking about a people who pursue riches outside God. No, not outside being Christian. No. But outside intimacy. Let's read it. Give it to me quickly. We'll have to rush. Have you found it? Read it for me. Anyone has found it, read it for me. But they that will be rich. I told you that when you read your original rendering is that will to be rich. That's the original one, actually. You understand? Because it says that those they that will be rich. You know, this is already a curse. Because all of us here will be rich. But actually, I'll tell you the truth. It is they that will to be rich. It means that there is a strange affinity their soul has with wealth that is outside intimacy. They are pursuing something outside God. It says, will fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown. Now, what is the basic principle of when somebody drowns? What happens? It's the loss of breath. If you've drowned before, you understand. Or about to drown. How many of you have about to drown before? About to. It's the loss of breath. It's a mystery. It's the loss of breath. Breathing becomes difficult. You can't imagine the statement breathing becomes difficult until you experience it. The only thing you want to do is to breathe. And then you are... and you can breathe. And anyone who is who experiences it, there is a calmness after you have been rescued. Yeah. Yeah. You just go and sit in one corner, you just... Yeah. Yeah, there is a gentility. You just become for like... You just be calm. You sit down somewhere. People will say, you just don't sit. So when we will to be rich, what happens is that we will lose life. We will be choked. You will be choked. It will choke you. And then you are going to fall into many foolish, hurtful lusts. Now, that lust, what's the network? Will is a network for the lust. Whereas your spirit should be catching the network of Holy Spirit, you are catching network for will to be rich. And many foolish. And then the end is that you will drown in what? Destruction and perdition. Are we together here? So let's go back to Genesis 22. Thank you, Jesus. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is to this day, and the mount of the Lord shall be seen. So the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. Alright, so you can see that there is intentionality in the way the scripture is being written. They are telling us the first experience. And now they are telling us what? The second experience. Huh? You would also notice that when the Lord encountered Solomon, don't go there. First give him a first dose, and I'll give him a second dose. If you have time, we can go and look at why it's like that. So the angel of the Lord, let me read that part again, please. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, seeth the Lord. For because thou hast done this, and thou hast not withheld thy son, which one? Thy only son. You see, that is how strict God was with Abraham. And it's not just strict with Abraham. God is generally strict. You didn't know that. He's generally strict. You can't tell God to manage something. That good, permissive will of God is a figment of your imagination. A permissive will of God. This is what God wants, but this is a permissive. It's a figment of, it's your desire, it's your wish that God has permissive will. He does not have permissive will. You either do what he tells you to do, or you don't do it. Is that good? You see, and the reason why this is important is that if God is not like this, all of us will fool him or fool ourselves thinking we are fooling him. And when God says, give your son, you just say, oh, Ishmael. Oh. And you'll not be crying. Ah, Ishmael. You know, many of us do that with the Lord. You know what the Lord is saying? Then you do another one. He says, obedience is better than sacrifice. To Akin than the fat of ram. Instead of you to do one small thing, you will now go and do something else that they did not tell you. You will now make that one big. Yeah, that's how some people apologize. The Spirit tells them to apologize to their spouse. That's actually in Benin. I said, I bought something, you know, I brought something on the way. Shewaje, chicken and chips. No, that's not what the Spirit did not say, buy. That's the word. The Spirit said, you should what? Apologize. And I said, dear, I just wanted to know that I was wrong yesterday, and I'm very sorry for what I did, and by the grace of God, I will not repeat what I did. You have to say it like that. You see? So that's why Abraham knew what God was saying. He's not going to take any other thing aside from Isaac, right?
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you are blessed tonight.
Yes, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
And he said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son. So you see that we all are in a journey, my goodness, we all are in a journey of holy losses. Why are we in a journey of holy losses? What is the meaning of a holy loss? Now, we're in a journey of holy losses because that's the only template upon which there can be divine exchange. You see, for there to be divine exchange, there has to be a holy loss. It means that a loss that is dictated by the Lord. You know, when we're in secondary school and primary school, there's something we used to do, dictation. I mean, I know dictation.
Yeah.
Dictation can be annoying sometimes.
Yeah.
You see, because in dictation, you don't used to try. You either get it or you miss it. It can be one E, it can be one T, it can be one... You miss it, dictation. I had an English teacher who would never taught us anything aside from dictation. Anything. Nothing. It would just come to class, open it, share a sheet of paper. Chauvinism. That was where I heard chauvinism. Chauvinism. And then we all, and then people think they are brilliant based on what they can spell and what they cannot spell. So God also does dictation. So he will come to you, he will dictate. Pride! Let it go. Now the only thing is that the way God does it is that after he has called the dictation, he will play the drama. When he says pride, he's not going to just allow you to say, gone. Now, what I'm teaching you is called life in the spirit. That's what I'm teaching you. You can walk in the spirit. It's, you don't have to shake your head to walk in the spirit. What I'm teaching you is, and if you ignore these teachings I'm giving you, you will not walk in the spirit. Listen, one of my earliest encounters in life as a child of God was Abraham. I was very young. I was in my teenage years. I was in my earliest days of salvation. And that day I was praying. And while I was praying, boom, I was in the spirit. And then I was in heaven and I saw the throne of God. And it was the most beautiful thing you could ever see. But I found out that the distance between me and the throne was too much. So I began to wail. Now, this was not a dream. This is a real encounter I was having. I began to wail and I asked God, just draw me close to this throne. I wailed and wailed and wailed for hours. I was just wailing on my own. Then a voice came from the throne and said, if I want to come here, then I should go learn Abraham because Abraham is here. And that was where my passion for Abraham started. He represents such an amazing icon in the spirit. When we talk life in the spirit. And that's why he's not a preacher. You see, when we found that Abraham was a prophet, we got shocked.
Yeah, yeah.
Because his own prophetic office is not gift of prophet. One, it's not even office of prophet. Because don't forget that all the offices did not start as offices. All the offices, if you merge it together, is person. Because of use, it was converted to office. So it is office for use sake. So that is where we have the fivefold. That's why there can be a prophet who operates in the prophet's office, but it's not a prophet like Christ. And there can be someone who is not in the prophet's office who describes the prophetic nature of Christ more than another who is in the office. So prophet Abraham Jay is not office. It's friendship. It's a superior prophet. That one is the superior level of the prophetic. I don't know if I'm preaching here. That is the possibility of entering dimensions without titles. And there are a lot of people in scripture like that. And actually, that is the end game. Oh, my lady. Are we together? And that is the end game of the New Testament. It is people without offices manifesting fullness of Christ. You don't know what wants to hit this head. What is hitting this head is an abnormal thing. It's people without offices. You understand? That after a while, you will be shy to call yourself prophet. You will be shy.
Yes, sir.
You don't understand? You will be timid to say, I'm a prophet. Because the level of maturity the church has entered into, you are going to see people who are more prophetic than your office. Lecturer, don't teach, don't report, don't teach, okay, Gabriel, welcome, Gabriel, sorry. Okay, I'm over by Soron. My friends, I'm coming. Gabriel is here. He wants to. Inwin. And when you're told the inwin. You remember what God told that king when he took Abraham's wife? So the only difference between you and a dead man is that people are not yet aware and they haven't bought your coffin yet. Yeah, they already killed that man already. Yeah. That man, you understand? The only difference is time difference. You understand? When something has happened in, it's time difference. It says you're already gone. Let's read it because I want to tell you what will happen to your enemies. Let's read that. Let's read that. Now therefore, and God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against thee. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. And he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, thou, no doubt that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are dying. There are levels to this thing. We are talking of a man who did not have enough boldness to say, she's my wife. So it's not anointing that is shaking him.
And he said, I will get to that city. She's my wife.
No, it's just a normal person, a friend of God. He'll say, ah, she's my sister. Let's start from verse 1. Let's start from this story from verse 1. I sense tonight is your night. I just have that feeling. I have that serious feeling that tonight is your night. Is it your night?
Yeah.
And Abraham journeyed from thence and towards the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Sarah, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in the night by dream and said to him, behold, thou, I know what I'm saying. I'm a bad revelation. This is where you should have started from. Thou art but a dead man. You know, that was what he told Adam, that the day you eat of this tree, you shall have died. Adam still lived for 99 years, deceiving himself. So right now you're already dead. Thou art but a dead man. You are dead. What we are struggling about now is to bring you back to life. The only challenge is, the reason why it looks like you are still alive is just time difference. Canada, Nigeria, kind of. A dead man. For the woman which thou takest, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, will thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he unto me, she is my sister. And she, even she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my... So can you see that the church needs to grow? Because there are some dreams God can give our presidents.
God.
This is a king now. God said, you are dead. Imagine they want to give a policy against the church. And God says, Tinubu. Talofe ronko rakofi ewo talofe. You don't understand. Abimelech did not doubt whether the dream doesn't need interpretation.
Yeah.
It's not a dream that needs interpretation, that this thing means God, this thing means death. No, it's a... It was direct. I had one dream like that when I was a young, a new Christian. There was one lady, me and I, we used to play, you know, believer, believer. Oh, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. We'll be playing every time, we'll be praying every time. We play, play, play. One day I just slept, the Lord just came to me. He just said, all right, your friendship with this person, it has ended from today. Any other friendship after now is not, I'm not, my hand is not there. I woke up, I said, he's my good friend. We don't used to commit any sin. Our hearts are pure. I said, God, will I just tell her I don't want to be her friend again? Boom, I slept back. I said, all right, so you don't have to be... you don't have to be troubled about how you would tell her. I've already told her. So when you tell her, she would take it well. I woke up again. So I said, can we see? The Lord said that you are no more my friend. She said, I also wanted to tell you. I know that. And that's how the friendship ended. You understand? Maybe by now I have 5 children. 2 from there, you know, 2 from here, 2 from there. Only God knows. So that's the kind of dream that this Abimelech. Oh, I see a glorious church and I'm excited. I see it, I'm excited. I see it and I'm happy. And she, even she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yeah, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of the heart, for I also will tell thee. It's a very strange thing. You are already dead. Oh, it is. You are not 22. Oh, you are already dead. For I withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, so far as I did not to touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife. For he's a prophet. He shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, no. You see, that's the release of faith. God was giving him the faith of his death. You look at, God was giving him faith. That was an impartation. No. So immediately he wakes up, he will just know. He will have faith for death. No, this is how it happens though. Even when God wants to bless you, he will have one encounter, you will just know. So God wanted to kill that guy, and God just gave him faith. I said, I don't need to kill you. Let me give you faith. Just know. So when you just wake up, you know I'm a dead man. No thou shall surely die. Thou and all that are dying. Therefore, Abimelech rose early in the morning, called all his servants, and told all these things in their ears. And the men were so afraid. This is the fear of the church that will come upon the nations. Now, can you understand how we lost this thing? It was because we didn't go to that mountain. We will to be rich. That's why we lost this thing. And told all these things in their ears, and the men were so afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? What have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of the Lord is not in this place. And they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she's my sister. She's the daughter of my father. But not the daughter of my mother. The wisdom. And she became my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, he's my brother. So you can see what I'm talking about. Go back there. Go back to. You can see what I'm talking about. That God is also a dictator. He calls dictation for us. The first dictation he called for Abraham is to leave your father. That's, I said, he calls a dictation. Then he plays out a what? A drama. So resident infusing all your experience is a divine dictation. Or anything you are going through in life, there is a dictation God has pronounced that the drama is playing out. You either get it right or get it wrong. I don't know if you get the point. Look at the next verse. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen, maid servants and woman servant, and gave them unto Abraham, and restored him Sarah his wife. Now, which textbook do you want to read that this is how to get oxen and men servants and women servants and sheep? Are you saying this? That God has his own way of blessing his children. That the way Abraham prospered here is that somebody took his wife. The man is strange. You take his wife, his business will grow. So stop thinking you already know all the ways by which you can be blessed.
and conclude your brain on those ways and you are holding it tight. God can bless you in unimaginable ways.
Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Now, it was this conversation that led to chapter 21, 22, that we're now in 22. But let's check 22. Maybe we'll come back here tomorrow if the Lord will. So thou hast not what withheld. So God will always strip us of things. Why? Because those things are impediments. The impediments that will not allow us to hold the real and the true substances. They are impediments. Those are the coverings. Are we here, friends?
Yes,
those are the coverings, thick coverings with which we covered our soul. That is giving us a fake identity that is not the Lord's. And some of these coverings are not even, they are just fake. Some of you can have fake patience. The Lord will now call a dictation for you, patience. You will think you already have it. It will now release a drama. Until it will collect that one. And now give you his own. You see, because one of the first signs and the first action of Adam when he fell was fake dressing. Because his dressing before was glory. It was when he fell that he covered himself with fig leaves. And listen, to be without glory and be naked is more powerful than to cover yourself with fig leaves. You didn't hear that? For before, God will not put a cloth on the fig leaf. It will remove the fig leaf because before he can clothe you. Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
That's why even in the garden, what he did was that he slew an animal and clothed them with that animal. Meaning that you cannot pick the cloth by yourself. Somebody say life in the spirit.
Life in the spirit.
So he comes to collect from you the fake things.
Yes, sir.
And that's why it was prophetically important that Jesus was hung on the cross naked. Yeah. It was written in prophecy that they were going to strip him of his clothes. And people were going to take it of that cloth. And it was going to die that way. Because to die without glory is more glorious than to die with fake glory. You see, so God takes from us and puts us in a place where if he doesn't show up, we're done for.
Yes, sir.
You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption, allow my soul to rot in Sheol. But I will be in Sheol. Are you together with me?
Yeah.
I will be at his mercy not to see the corruption.
Yeah.
So you see, can I preach here?
Yes, sir.
God permits those scenarios that are unpleasant. And in those unpleasant scenarios, instead of trying to stop your shame, you have to find out what is he willing to collect from me.
Yes.
Because many times in those scenarios, what we are concerned about is you don't want to see shame.
Yes.
And that's not his plan.
Yes.
The reason for that seeming shame is so that he can have a chance to collect. And many times we miss those opportunities that when God opens up an opportunity to collect something for you, we go and sow fig leaves again.
Yeah.
Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Don't forget that they were naked and not ashamed. Why? Because they were carrying the glory. Now they became naked, real naked, the glory had left, and became ashamed. Then they went to sow fig leaves. The question is, was fig leaves restoring them to where they were before?
No. No, sir.
And as though God did not have a plan to cover them.
Wow.
So God releases scenarios into your life, but you need to find out what is he collecting. What is he what?
Collecting.
What is he what?
Collecting.
What is he collecting? One of the things God collected, one of the things God collected from Paul is Jew. You can't understand. You will understand. You understand. If you check Paul's soul, he is Jew. Peter is not Jew. Peter is fake Jew. When you're looking for Jew, it's Paul. God so stripped Paul of Jew that God even sent him to Gentiles. And there was a time, it was in Romans chapter 13 or 15. He said he wished he could give himself for the Jews. He loves the Jews, but God stripped him from Jew. Because there was a way he got covered. There was a covering he got from being Jew. And God says, if this guy retains Jew, he will lose Christ. So the price of Christ for Paul was to strip him of Jew. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Let's read it. Finally, brethren, rejoice. Go forward. Let's start from verse 1. Let's have fun. Let me check the time. All right, beautiful. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Huh? It's a serious thing.
Yes, sir.
You see, because naturally speaking, you need to train the soul. You need to experience a type of encounter where you can carry your base of rejoicing from this earth and go and put it in the Lord. It's not natural. You don't rejoice in the Lord, naturally speaking. You rejoice in miracles. You rejoice in good health. You rejoice. But Paul is teaching us, the Bible is teaching us that as a child of God, something must happen to your heart where you can carry where you are rejoicing. Change the location. The reason that is important is because every other place Satan is there. And you are going to go through confusion if you leave your rejoicing here. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. And the reason is because Satan has come down to the earth. So you have to carry rejoicing. It's training. And go and carry it in the Lord. So that you carry your rejoicing where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And Satan cannot reach that place. So that the expression of your face will confuse hell. When hell touches this place, they see a smile. And I wonder, where is the smile coming from? You see, because a lot of us know how to speak in tongues. We pray in the spirit, but we don't rejoice in the spirit. So you have to carry that thing and take it upstairs. That's what he's saying here. Rejoice in the Lord. You know, that's what Otis did. You know, Otis took his mother, i.e. his mother in heaven. How many of you remember Otis? Everybody has killed their mother. Otis will just go in the evening. His mother will arrange food for him. He will just sing his song. Everybody has killed their mother. Thought this would go in the evening. The mother went out to release rope. He will now go and meet his mother in heaven and eat. Is that not a parable for us? Now, whatever is happening here, our Father is in heaven. We should be able to go there every day and say, what if I want me by you? What's your subsidy be by you? This is why we don't know. We are unaware of the price of where we. When I'm aware for the masses, not for myself. I feel for the masses. I feel for the masses. Since the 21 days up, the light is on in this place for morning to night. I'm unaware of it. And if the accounts tell me they cannot do it again, I'm unaware. If you cannot do it, don't do it. But I'm not aware, because I've carried my rejoicing like tortoise. I've taken it there. Me mo nko to nsele bo ko man feel fun awon masses. I tell you. And if you say, ah, it's because you don't, in my mind, I said you don't have sense, but I can't say that. You don't understand these things. You don't understand these things. We've been like this for quite an amount of years. It's circumcision that God has done in our hearts. So you must know how to carry the rejoicing. You take it from men. I said we take it from men. That's why you have to sack everyone. You have to sack everyone that reminds you of sorrow. The way people respect people who give you sorrow. You have to, anybody who gives you sorrow, you have to sack. And say, Oga, this is your role in my life. Show the Lord saying. Yeah, that's for you. That's a word for you. You have to sack everyone that gives you sorrow. Everyone that makes you aware of your problem and not God sent to you. People that when you see them, you remember what you lack. I'm telling you, there is more working for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you know what it means for your liver and your kidney not to function, you will understand that. You see, there are some serious problems that if it hits you, your previous problem will not be a problem. I tell you, whatever, if your kidney change position, your liver change position, you will not find out what was making you cry. It's not an issue. The matters of thanksgiving around our life are so much. Oh my goodness. I thought there are people in the house who can thank God. What have you not done? What have you not done? From generation to generation, what have you not done? What have you not done? Yahweh, what have you not done? From generation to generation, what have you not done? What have you not done? Hey, Yahweh, what have you not done? From generation to generation, what have you not done? What have you not done? Oh,
what have you not done?
Ashabarati sabar.
What have you not done?
From generation.
From generation to generation, what have you not done?
What have you not fixed? Yahweh, what have you not fixed? Hey, from generations to generation, what have you not fixed? What have you not done?
What have you not done?
What have you not done?
What have you not done? From generation to generation, what have you not done?
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 From generation. What have you not done?
You
have blessed me, bless me.
What have you not done?
You have saved me, save me.
Generation to generation, what have you not done?
Come on, give him a shout of praise. You're going to have your seat. Yes. Yes. Alagada baye koto masisia. Aragata bazo korobosha. Are we here? So God says, Abraham, you do not withhold. So I'm talking about how God collects from us. And we're now looking at the story of Paul. How God collected Jew from him. So you see, don't think that God doesn't have things to collect from you. It's not just offerings collecting from you. He's collecting things from you, you don't even know that you have. He's the one in charge of the dictation. You don't dictate for yourself. You know, if we were to set our own question, who we feel? If they say I'm in charge of dictation, I will call for myself boy, toy, cat, dog, rat, mat. I can't call chauvinism for myself. All these strange words, they will say it's double T, double E. Those ones are the most annoying ones. Words that you are sure you know until they call it in dictation. You are sure you know it until they just say spell. Communication. You know, is it one M or two M? Imagine this whole church. There's no day we don't talk about the anointing. Every time we talk about the anointing. And on Sunday, they said somebody should write anointing on the screen. And he put about 18 N on a that. Dictation. That's what God does. He will dictate. And sometimes you're not even aware of the dictation that has been called over your life. Hey, it's a scripture. Do you know there were many people God had called? They have dictated something to them. Jesus. He told one guy, follow me. The guy said, I want to go and bury my parents. Who, how are we sure if that person is not meant to be part of the disciples? She be told you down la, she more destiny. Toba down, kilo maje, who shall he be? And the guy said, I want to go and bury my father. And he didn't know there was already a revelation in the spirit. God, let the dead bury their dead. And maybe that's what they want to collect from him. His love for burial. Guy doesn't miss burials. Go miss. He might not go for naming. He might not go for wedding. Burial. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury. You like burial. And that's why I came to call you when somebody died. So I can deliver you from burial. Every time burial, most of your clothes, you bought it for burial. He said, but go down and preach. This was a preacher. This is a preacher. This is a preacher. In heaven, this guy Jesus called is a preacher. A preacher of the kingdom. So this person, we should have known this person's name. We should have known. Do you know how many people's names that we should have known? It's a preacher. Jesus called somebody a preacher. He says, go and preach. The guy says, it's important we bury. So you can see that there are a lot of things that you think is important, but the mandate upon your life doesn't count it important. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Let's go back to our Philippians chapter 3. All right, the next verse, please. So, you can understand that all these sometimes discomfortable situations around your life, you need to find out what is he asking for?
what am I dropping? So sometimes the plan is not for you to be happy. Because many times we correct life to our happiness. You, anytime things scatter, you are correcting towards happiness. You think happiness is accurate. Many times, what do we think? Happiness is what we think. Happiness is accurate. So anytime you are not happy, you think Satan has done something. And sometimes is God doing something? God is unhappy about your happiness. Because the thing that is making you happy is a bad thing. And God wants to take away that. Are you together with me? Just like a baby. What makes babies happy are things that can kill them. Yeah. A baby can want to rule with knife. It can see real baby and say, feel like ruling with it. And the storm is at risk. And when you collect that knife, it's crying, it's screaming. So you see, happiness does not judge accuracy.
Yes.
Oh my God.
So sometimes God is the one funding your current sorrow. He's funding it. You need to find out who is this sorrow. Is it Satan? Who is funding it? I don't know if I'm preaching here.
Yes.
So stop always correcting life towards happiness. Correct it towards what's he saying? Because it will only be God's joy that will be your strength, not your own. The joy of the Lord. That is when you will have strength, not your joy. Am I preaching here?
Yes, sir.
So beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, this statement that looks simple is not simple for... It took a lot for him to be able to say this. You see, sometimes we can't understand these things because we are not Jews. So you do not appreciate how a Jew sees himself till today. Today, the way the Jew says, do you know what it means when the Jew has an idea? Imagine if, as Nigerians, we know that when God wanted to be the God of a tribe in the whole world, that we are the ones He chose. Imagine the Moses we are talking about. Somebody in this service can say, is from my lineage. Imagine if somebody can say that. Because you don't understand what it means to be a Jew. Say Elijah. In fact, that's how is. Oh yeah, Elijah Lokwekini is from his. Can you say his anger? Anger Elijah. Be Elijah Shirini. Be family one Shirini. So you can understand what it means. When you are a Jew, you look at other nations and say, nation, not really you. So that's what it means to be a Jew. You know the sea that was divided for your great-great-great-grandfather to pass. Real stories. Real stories. Documented in scripture, documented in history books. Real stories. That's one of the easiest ways you know Islam is just fake. Because all the stories in Islam is thousands of years, hundreds of years after they had happened. So the Bible can't be the one that is fake, because the Bible was first. It was later, hundreds of years later, you guys wrote your own. They now, you know, it's like when you want to copy. You know, there's a way you copy. You will change some things. After changing it, there's a way you submit. You don't, it's just. If the person you copy his book is you just put your own under. And the person even you are copying will tell you, they change them, my change. I said, ah, send me what money. You go. The question I want to ask is, all the people laughing now, who is copy? Who did they copy? Are you laughing because they copied you? Or because you copied? Praise God. For we have the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit. To get a Jew to say that, the very premise of them being one with God is circumcision. Every Jew went through that pain of circumcision. That's what makes them one with God. And now we see Paul saying that we are now the circumcision that worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He says, if any man, he said, there's no man that has confidence. He now began to release his CV. Circumcised the 8th day. Not 9th, not 8th and the 8th day sharp. Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So you can see the level of confidence. Now this has made him. This is Paul. Salvation doesn't change this. This is him. So you can understand the irritation with which he first got saved. And see other Christians behaving. So you can understand the extreme work God did. For him to be an apostle to Gentiles. Oh, Shabaya. Imagine they now took him to, if they are taking him to Jews, would it not be easy? They now took him to Gentiles. That they will be doing opposites to what he knows. That he did not kill one suddenly one day is a shocker. Oh, my codeli, pack the eye. Want to born again? Bye. You. Salvation is powerful. Don't you dare tell me this is who you are. Stop saying that rubbish. This is who you are. Are you stronger than the Spirit of God? Are you? You have the capacity to become anything Jesus will want you to be. This is who I am. This is you. You. Who are you? If God, you see, you might be a very lousy person. If God wants you to be the gentlest person in the world, they will put tom-tom in your mouth like this, it won't reduce. Jesus. They will put tom-tom in your mouth like this, it won't reduce. By the time God is done with you, delivering Israel was shocking Moses. Supernatural was shocking Moses. By the time God was done with him, his passion for rearing cow entered another level. He saw bush burning, he didn't hear it. He just said, "Whoop me, fell." By the time God had stripped him, it was after that God could send him. So you can see that this assignment, this calling, is not done out of excitement. It's done after stripping. After stripping. It's not excited. It's not, I'm not excited. No. You know the parable of the seed that was sown. It says, so after excitement, it doesn't seem with joy. He said, but the thing did not have roots in itself. It didn't have roots. It didn't have roots in itself. How does it have roots in itself? It's true death, true crushing. Persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. Let's read, my dear. But these things were gain in me. But what things were gain to me? Those I counted loss. And I talk about, I've been trying to explain holy loss. So for you to gain Christ, there will be a dictation of losses. Loss. So if you think it's a big deal to lose, you're not getting the point. You can just come for ego. You just got in heaven, they'll just blow a trumpet over your life. Ego, ego. You know, as the Lord is you, I'm dead to self, I'm dead to self. Then God will say, that's your wife. He'll pick one girl that is a master. That is anointed to bruise ego. Anointed to tamper with ego. Just one beautiful girl. She will just be like, hello, brothers. I'm fine. I don't marry. I want to marry you too. Just marry. And they will mess up with your ego. Then when you are praying about it, God will keep talking about you. You will report the girl to God. God will not say anything. And God will not change the girl quickly because he still needs her to tamper with you. See? It won't change her. It won't change her because he's still using her for work of righteousness. It won't change her quickly. He won't quickly change her. It will just say, my daughter, you are doing well. You are doing well. She will touch it. She will treat you in a way nobody treated your father. You'll be remembering all the things your father enjoyed. You say, is it not my turn? Am I not a father? It's because they have called dictation over your life. And what they called was ego. Then the Holy Spirit will now say, focus on me. Don't focus. Come on, shout hallelujah. The Holy Ghost will say, focus on me, not her. Focus on me. When I was going to marry my beautiful wife, I had an encounter with the Lord. Yeah. I had an encounter with Jesus. When I checked it, after we started planning, we were dating, I looked at the thing, Kai. I said, this thing will not work. I looked at it, and I said, this thing cannot work. I said, God, I don't doubt you spoke to me that this is my wife, but I said, it can work. Because the contradiction in character, the way they get it, tamper with me. I said, no. So I went to meet my wife. I said, I'm not doubting God spoke to me about you, but I can't. I've told God I can't. Let's go our separate ways. So I told God, I can't marry this person. It's not possible because there's a way I want to be happy. You see, we want to up. You see, if we can remain ourselves, we are usually happy. We like the comfort of the self we have known. We don't want anything to tamper with the you that you know. I said, no, I can't marry this lady. So one day I began to pray. I wanted to marry somebody else. So I said, God, let me marry this other person now. So I was praying. I said, Lord, let me marry this person now. Yeah. In the night. I said, God, I want to marry this person. I want to marry. I don't want to marry this one. I don't want to marry this one. Say yes. I prayed. And as I was praying, I just slept off. Boom. And then the Lord came to me and said, so concerning your request, he said, if you marry this person, that's the other person, you are not going to have any problem. It will be easy. You people will not be quarreling. So if you now point to my wife, if you marry her, Kai, he said, it will not be easy. He said, if you go with her, it won't be easy. He said, but I'm going to use it to work my patience in you. And whilst he was speaking, I could travel to his heart, and I knew that this was his choice for me. So I went, and I picked God's choice for my life. Oh boy. The about 1 or 2 years of dating plus the first 3 years of marriage. Kai! You see, some of the growth I have is not growth from devotion. I didn't grow through devotion. I grew, my spiritual growth came as a married man. Just to be married. Now I have some level of patience that no conference can teach me. I have it. That was the choice of the Lord. That's the dictation they called, and they released the drama. But the Lord says, the Lord told me, this is how he said it. He says, I will use her to teach you patience. He says, so don't look at her. Look at me. And the more I kept looking at her, the sorrow was increasing. See what you did. Romans chapter 5, Proverbs 31, wife. Proverbs, see, you can't train your wife how to be a good wife. Only the spirits. The spirit is not your work, it's the spirit. Proverbs chapter 31. She has read it since teenage years. She's still in Proverbs 22. She has read it. Has read it. I'm telling you, life in the spirit. If you like, go to the mountain and pray in tongues 25 hours a day. That's not life in the spirit. Life in the spirit will happen to you by the dramas the Lord himself will release for you. Life will happen. Don't drop it and go and pray in tongues. You are better leave. For Abraham to mature, he has to carry Isaac. If he doesn't carry Isaac and say, Lord, I love you, Lord. I go pray. If I not pray, Satan. Satan is already making a mess of you already. So he says, for Abraham it was thy son. For Paul it was Jew. Jew, lara guy. Do you know what it means for Abraham, a patriarch, to be without a son? Do you know, for Abraham to be without a son, then the day Abraham dies, Abraham dies. So it was the day he asked God, is this how you will watch me? Get me. That I will be without a child. Immediately I die. Everything about me is gone. Eliza, who is not my blood, will now start something else with all I've gathered. God said, Mori. Yeah, I'm going to continue. Johnny, she won't want you to be in law. For Paul, it was what? Jew. He said, but what things were gained to me? So there are a lot of things that are gained to you. You see, there are a lot of things that when you think about yourself, they are the ones that makes you feel like something. Hey, that's the one they are coming for. I said, in your tongue, look at me. But when they are ready, they will do dictation. Ego. It's a pride. Acceptance, love for acceptance.
Alamushe neon. Yeah. There will not be a drama of rejection around you. You experience drama of rejection. You will now find out that you have used men to cover yourself. And you thought it was God. People that you were sure will never reject you, they will now reject you. People that you were sure are ladders, that Tibati brother Shegu. Back of the Jade school, back Jade school. Ah, they need to one. Ah, I do pay money to one. Back of the brother Shegu. It was much one for all queer, one Mombasa road, you gave me my team Mombasa road. I will preach, I go preach. I was promised me. He has this network. I was just giving him this. I want to go there. I'm not sure. I change back. I said, have I offended you in any way? Say, no, offend me. All right, you try again. I said, come on, I'm a lolly. I know now. In me, everything. I'm a lolly. I'm a lolly. Hey. He wants to collect it. And you have to partner with that one. That one, God cannot do it without you agreeing. God will not kill Isaac. Abraham will have to sacrifice him. God will not kill him in the night. Anytime God comes and do that by force, he's not maturing you, he's judging you. Judgment in here. When God does something without demanding it from you, he's already releasing judgment. So, but those things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss. So you understand what happened? Paul didn't pay a little loss. Okay, so let's count all things loss so that it won't break our heart again. I just say, I counted all things as loss. Let's count all things. Friends, this is where God is bringing us to.
Yes.
All things. You see, the last thing for Abraham was Isaac. Yeah. That was the last thing. That was the only thing that remained for Abraham. And God wanted to check whether the job had been done. And friends, it had been done. Yeah. Been done. Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of now. This knowledge is experiential knowledge. So it doesn't come until you have counted holy losses. This is how you get your own stature. This is how you become somebody with God without the need of ministry office. People who don't have this always need a title.
Yes.
Because a title is used to hide their nakedness and their emptiness. When you have this, you see, when you have Jesus, you don't need titles. When you have Jesus, being the least becomes a thing of joy. Because you can just be enjoying your Jesus wherever you are. Those who have Jesus don't seek great tasks. Because the task of being one with Jesus already is so fulfilling. Yes. It's so fulfilling. By the time you see somebody who is angry, they did not put him in the front seat. Go and check his seat with Christ. It's because he's at the back. The way he wants to hide it is to sit at the front so that nobody will know he's at the back. But when truly you are in the front with Christ, if they put you at the back, you are still full of joy. Yeah. Can you say life in the Spirit? What if we said it loud 5 times? Life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. For whom I suffered the loss of all things, I do not count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So, Paul had learned the true rate of these things. He had learned what? The true rate. The true conversion rate.
He had done the conversion. He has used Christ to do the conversion. And when respect was really weighty, it was because we were converting it with self. That's why respect had a lot of price. By the time you convert it with Christ, you will find out that respect is nothing.
Yes,
you are not getting my point. By the time you use self to measure respect, you will think it's needed. When you put self on ego, you will think ego is needed. But by the time you put it side by side Christ, then your tendency to feel disrespected will now be very, very, very little. Are you together with me?
Yes.
It will be very little. Your tendency to feel disrespected. That thing that you are any small thing, you feel disrespected. You don't know what's happening. It's because you are heavy with self.
Yeah.
That's why you need respect. You need respect to cover you. Do you understand? So that people will not know how small you are. The crown is bigger than your head.
Yeah.
Are we together, friends?
Yeah.
When some people don't have money, they can't have joy. When they have money, they have joy. So by the time they don't have money, their children suffer the way they beat the children. The children did not do much, but transferred aggression. Are you together with me? So God calls dictation. When he sees love of money in your soul, it can call dictation. It can ask you to spell how it is to live without money, joy without money. We'll just call that dictation. Then the angels will now come with breeze. You're saying you love the Lord. Lord, I love you without anything. I just love you. I love you without anything. Just you, Lord. You, Lord. I'm a seeker of your face, not your hands. The discomfort will now start. Then it's now for you to find out what he is collecting from you. When you find out this is what he's collecting from me, then you now put it on the altar and say, I surrender, Lord. 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 Then he will now come with glory. Because everything has a glory version. You want respect? God can give you respect via glory.
Yeah.
You want money? God can give you money, but he can bring the glory version. What do I mean the glory version? The money that glory brought. It's money, your physical money, but it will be through glory.
Yeah.
That kind of money does not have the ability to corrupt your soul. He will not bring the real honor for you. Did he not say it? He said he will supply all our needs. How? How? It's not from CBN, it's according to his riches in glory. For everything you think you can't do without, there is a glory version. Don't go for Satan's version, go for the glory version of it. It's still going to bless you with prosperity, but there is a glory version. Even fame, there is a glory version of fame. God can make you the most popular person in this nation, in this world, but there is a glory version. It means that you are popular, but you are still stable. You are still stable. It's a glory version. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having my own. You see it? That fake garment. My own righteousness, which is of the law. But that which is through faith. Through the faith of Christ. The righteousness, which is of God. Of God by faith. Meaning if God don't help me, I'm finished. If God don't keep me, I'm finished. That's the one by faith. Go to Genesis. Let's rush. Genesis 22. Ora diabashamba. Aha. He says, and thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son. That was what was collected from Abraham. Listen. That in blessing I will bless thee. Did he not already tell him that he will bless him in Genesis chapter 12? So it didn't come until Genesis 22. So the prophecy is hanging on your head and waiting till you are stripped for it to come into fusion. Since Genesis 12, he told him, I will bless you. He says, go back, go to 16. Quickly. And he said, by myself I have sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this. Because. So you can understand that when the prophecy comes upon you, he will not take you on a journey to fulfill your many becauses. There's a because. So if you abandon your walk with God, you don't have a destiny with him. Because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld. So there is a connection between you being stripped and entering prophecy. So prophecy is delayed when we do not strip ourselves of what God is telling us to strip it of ourselves of. So you think the prophecy is just being delayed? You are the one delaying it. Because what God said, let go, you are not letting go. Now you can see there is a connection between great husband and great business. Before you didn't connect it. You didn't know that great husband, God is using it. Oh my goodness. The things you are losing, the things you are letting go because of your marriage, you don't know that the prophecy of you having conglomerate is his to that one. You don't know. It's his to it. Only God knows the route. Oh my goodness. I don't know, my attention just came here. I don't know why, but my attention is here. I don't know why. But I suspect there is a work of the Spirit. There is an angelic operation in this area of the house. I don't know, I see God picking someone here. I just see the Lord picking someone in your midst. Let the hand of the Lord rest upon you. Let the hand of God rest. Oh my goodness, let that hand rest on you. Oh Rabbi Akabasha. The hand of God is coming upon, oh my goodness. 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 Because there's someone here, I don't know the connection, but the gift of prophecy is coming upon someone. I don't know why it's connected to this service. I don't know the connection with this teaching and the gift of prophecy. But I just saw the prophetic mantle resting on someone, the prophetic gift. There's a move of the Spirit even to those listening from the speakers outside. There is a move of God. What's going on? Something is happening here. What's going on? I see the hand of God. I practically see the hand of God resting. It's resting on this house. The hand of the Lord. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh my. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, Kaba Aradesh Shayatias. Aha. Oh Repia, the hand of God is in this house. The hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord. Rapayu. I see the mighty hand of Jesus. The mighty hand of our Father is in this house. It's a mighty hand. In Jesus' name we prayed. Can you sit down or sit on the floor, wherever? But I want to... Can you give me 12 minutes? I promise you, 12 minutes of full concentration. After that, I might not finish the 12 minutes, but I want to say some things. And after that, I would allow the Lord to do what He wants to do. But I suspect that there's baptism of fire, but not in a different way. It's the baptism that draws you in. That's it. But give me some minutes. I will just rush, kind of. We will come back to this scripture. But to buttress what I was talking about how the promise was in Genesis 12, but the criteria were fulfilled in 22. We see the same pattern here. In the epistle in 2 Corinthians, I need to read this epistle. I need to read it. When you check 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, we'll read it and we'll stop at chapter 7. And what agreement has the temple of the Lord of God with idols? Please, I want full concentration because I would hand over the service to the Lord. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will. So, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will. Now, it's easy to quickly say this has happened in salvation, but not completely. And I will show you in this same text. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I will. So how do I know that it's not just fulfilled in salvation? It now says, having therefore these promises. So that was the promise, and it's still a promise. So because we have these promises, dearly beloved, let us now what? Cleanse ourselves. That is what is collecting from us. From all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. So the one I've been preaching about is filthiness of the spirit. That's what I've been preaching about. Those are issues of limitations on the basis of ancient characters. Ancient characters that are tied to devilish altars. You see, and remember God of Satan. All of these characters are encoded in the original rebellion. The original rebellion itself that manifested in filthiness of flesh and spirit. So you see, you can't carry those things and also carry God. So when you are going to carry God, you are going to let go of something. So what I've been preaching is what you are letting go so that you can what? Carry God. So you need to cleanse yourself of the filthiness. So Genesis 22, still stay here, says that because you have let go of Isaac. What does Isaac represent? Isaac represents continuity for Abraham in the flesh. Continuity. And God says, no, your continuity is not in the flesh. Your continuity is in the spirit. So let go of continuity. Abraham's hope was in Isaac that my name, Abraham, will not die. And God says, you are ordained for something more than that. I have to collect this one from you. This is filthy. You have to let it go so that these promises can come to pass. God now says, because you have let it go, I will now bless you. So there are things that have to go tonight. Things that cover your fears has to go. And so, in a moment, we're going to say, Father, take it, Lord. We let it go. Take it, Lord. Strip me, Lord. That's the prayer. 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 Take it away. Take it away. Take it away, Lord. Take it away. I ask the Lord to baptize your heart with his fire right now. Father in heaven, grant us a holy baptism. Let it go. You know that thing. You know it. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. You have 5 minutes to talk to the Lord tonight in this service. You have just 5 minutes. Come on. Make the best of it, brother. Make the best of it, sister. The fire of God is available. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Come on, let it go. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Empty yourself. Let Jesus heal you. Let his struggle end today. Let fire take away all the struggles. The self-protection, self-preservation. Let it go by fire. Oh Lord, honor your word tonight. Honor your word tonight. And let fire drop now. Honor the preaching of your word. I call for your fire. Three more minutes. Come on. Come on. Come on. You can do it. You should do it. You should do it. You should surrender to Jesus. You should do that. Get light in the spirit. Get free in the spirit. Be light so that God can carry you. The fire of his love is consuming your soul tonight.
To
Amen. The fire of God is in this room. It's upon your hearts. Let me pray for just one person. I'm praying for everyone, but I mean personally. Help me tap that lady standing. Yes, come. I want to pray for you. Come. Come. And I know shall come with her. You see, I want to tell you something. It's not by power. It's not by mind. It's by the Spirit of God. You know, today I had a new revelation today. What I thought I'd always known. In the morning, I began to... Today was the first time I had a full revelation, a deeper revelation of the ministry of laying on of hands. I didn't know what it was. But I had an encounter. I had an experience today. Maybe sometime I'll talk about it. But I want to pray for you. And what I want to pray for you is that... You see, change is not man-made. It's by the Spirit. And one of the signs of a genuine New Testament ministry is the ability to provide the Spirit that brings change. There is a level of change God is calling you into, and it's going to be by His Spirit. By His Spirit. So when I lay my hands on you, when I put my handkerchief on you and lay my hands on you, the Spirit of God will come upon you. And then you'll become a new person. You won't even know. You'll just find out you're a new person. I want you to believe it. Come closer, please. Take the Spirit. Take the Spirit. I want another usher to come stay close to her, please. Another one. Another one. Just one person. Another one. Can you try bring her back? Try bring her back. Just release yourself. Oh. Just release yourself. Just release yourself. Oh. Give me my handkerchief. It's serious. What's coming upon you? It's as though they are creating you again. You will not just... the things you struggled with for years are going to drop. And it's a real reformation that's coming upon you. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. 1, 2, 3, it rests. It rests. Oh, my goodness. Have it. Have it. Let it go deep. Please try one more. That's why I need to watch us. One last time, please. Just come. Try. Release yourself. One last time. One last time. Please, I want the ushers to be very strong. This last one is going to be serious. Oh, all of it now. All. He changes our lives. The Holy Spirit does that. He's a good father. He's a good father. He's a good father. We love you, Lord. We love you, Father. And it's because you love us. We know your name, Jesus. What a beautiful one. Can we all sing it softly? Let your heart connect to Him, please. Please. Don't sing it without your heart connecting. Please, I beg you.
Jesus,
you're a beautiful. How we love.
of your name.
Just go, leave her. She's in her father's house. You know what the Lord told me? Starting from tomorrow, we're going to start having some type of healings. Wait. I said what the Lord told me. I didn't raise a prayer. I'm not trying to get you to have faith. I'm not trying to excite the atmosphere. I said what he told me. So it's not Pentecostalism. What he told me, just like somebody tells somebody something. If I say this Allah told me something, you're not gonna say amen. It's real, we're not kidding. What he told me. There are going to be healings, and the type of healings are the healings that are generational. So if you have any kind of sickness, maybe your father has it or your mother has it, it's in the bloodline. They are going to go. Yes. And it's going to start from tomorrow. It's not because of an anointing. It's because of he's with us. It's not because of anointing. I don't have faith for it. Nor do I have doubts for it. Do you understand that? I'm just saying what will happen. It's easy what I'm saying. It's a reported statement. I'm just reporting what will happen. So it's not like I'm building my faith for it. So from tomorrow, those who have high blood pressure, all those kind of stuff, it will go. Any sickness that is generational, your grandmother has it, it's going to go in these 21 days. Yeah. And that's glory to the Lord. He loves us so much. So take time to pray if you want to pray in the room. We're going to see tomorrow morning to pray more. You know? All right. So I don't want us to make a lot of noise. I just want to end the meeting. I don't want us to offend the work of the Spirit. Love you so much. Don't say I love you too. I know you love me already. God bless you.